Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki. Self-controlled person who attached to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, can all of a sudden give up the world of material attachment, including the gross body and subtle mind, and go away to attain the highest perfection of the renounced order of life, by which non-violence and renunciation are consequential. Purport. Only the self-controlled can gradually be attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The self-control means not indulging in sense enjoyment more than is necessary. And those who are not self-controlled are given over to sense enjoyment. Dry philosophical speculation is a subtle sense enjoyment of the mind. Sense enjoyment leads one to the path of darkness. Those who are self-controlled can make progress on the path of liberation from the conditioned life of material existence. The Vedas therefore enjoin that one should not go on the path of darkness, but should make a progressive march towards the path of light or liberation. Self-control is actually achieved not by artificially stopping the senses from material enjoyment, but by becoming factually attached to the Supreme Lord by engaging one's annulled senses in the transcendental service of the Lord. The senses cannot be forcibly curbed, but they can be given proper engagement. Purified senses, therefore, are always engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. This perfectional stage of sense engagement is called Bhakti Yoga. Those who are attached to the means of Bhakti Yoga are factually self-controlled and can all of a sudden give up their homely and bodily attachment for their service, for the service of the Lord. It is called the Paramahamsa stage. Hamsas or swans accept only milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Similarly, those who accept the service of the Lord instead of Maya's service are called the Paramahamsas. They are naturally qualified with all the good qualities or attributes, such as pridelessness, freedom from vanity, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, respectability, worship, devotion, and sincerity. All these godly qualities exist in the devotee of the Lord spontaneously, such Paramahamsas who are completely given up to the service of the Lord are very rare. They are very rare even amongst the liberated souls. Real nonviolence means freedom from envy. In this world, everyone is envious of his fellow being. But a perfect Paramahamsa, being completely given up to the service of the Lord, is perfectly non-envious. He loves every living being in relation with the Supreme Lord. Real renunciation means perfect dependence on God. Every living being is dependent on someone else because he's so made. Actually, everyone is dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, But when one forgets his relation with the Lord, he becomes dependent on the conditions of material nature. Renunciation means renouncing one's dependence on the condition of material nature, and thus becoming completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Real independence means complete faith in the mercy of the Lord without dependence on the condition of matter. This Paramahamsa stage is the highest perfectional stage in Bhakti Yoga, the process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Omagyan chimilandasa ganan gala sharakaya shakshur mitam yena tasme shigurave nama chishitanya manubistam stapitam yena butare svayam rupa kadamayam datati svapadam tikam vandeyam shiguru shiyuta padakamaram shiguru vaishnavam cha shirupam sagrajatam sagana ragunatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaita Tam Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabanu Sute Devam Devi pranamani hari priye vamsa karpataro vyasa kripa sindhu vyaiva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama namo vishnu padaya krishna prishtaya bhutare shrimate bhakti vedanta svaminiti namine namaste sarasvate deve guravani pacharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. May I request all your kind attention to give me your blessing that I can speak someone which is needful for you. Thank you. When I was studying this verse, I identified two important sections for me. We can speak a lot of things in this verse because the purport is very long and we don't have so many times. And I will speak first about all Bhakti Yoga is superior to Jnana. To the dry philosophical speculation, because we can engage our senses. Last time I gave a talk on Yukta Viraga, but I will not go in the same direction, so I will give another angle to that. And the second part, I will hope we will come to that, will be envy. And envy, or to deal with it, where does it come from? We were talking between the boys during Sutapa's lecture about Bhakti Shastri, Bhagavad Gita, about envy, and it came into a it didn't came to an end. So I did my research on Veda base, and I came to understand a little bit better. So I want to share the fruits of my research about that. So first of all, I would like to take two words, or maybe three, from this verse. It will be yeah, anurakta. Anurakta means here attached. Anurakta, firmly attached, and it's one of the other condition to be self-realized with dira, self-control. So those two words will be. It will come generally in a lot of verses. Through the Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Those two verses are really important because they emphasize first anurakta, firmly attached to Krishna. So this is the positive thing. We engage in senses toward something, toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And dira means engaging my senses. Engaging my senses, that means what? That means I'm protecting myself towards Maya. So this is to take distances. So in one way we are getting taste from Krishna's relationship, and in one way we are taking security, we are cautious about the influence of Maya, because we are marginal potency, and Maya is Maya yaya durachaya, she is very difficult to overcome. So we know humble, and in this verse there is another thing, which is sadasa. We'll come to that later. All of a sudden, sadasa. Here, Prabhupada refers to it as one who has the means of bhakti, that means anurakta and dira, is self-controlled and is attached to Krishna. He can all of a sudden live for a life of renunciation. But in the same way, in the purport, it says that Prabhupada referring to a progressive stage of devotion. So it's not that we can all of a sudden. So I will try to clarify that. But sadasa can refer also to another thing, to death. All of a sudden death is coming in this world. So we will try to see the 2 points of sadasa. First, we have to understand that there is no possibility for us to be anurakta, firmly attached, if there is still the desire of enjoyment within ourselves. Because the desire of enjoyment is totally contradictory to the position of the servant. Enjoyment means I think about myself, but the position of the servant is I think about the master. So in order to be a good servant, we should try to master our senses. This is one thing. If we want to be anurakta, dira needs to be there. And in the other hand, if we want to be self-controlled, we need rasa varjam raso piyasya param dirishtva nivartate. We need that higher taste in order to let away our attachment, to let away our legages, those conditionment that we have accumulated since many lifetime, and we are carrying that with our subtle body and also with our gross body. So I was reflecting about a verse, and I find one verse which is, you may not perceive it right when you read that verse, but actually it's about that. Iyatamam prapadyante tam stateva bhajami haham mama vartmanu vartante manusha pata sarvasha. When you hear this verse, you don't think about what we are speaking. But actually, if you dig a little bit better, it's totally related to that. Why? Because Krishna is saying that in any case, they have to come to me. Why? Because in any case, they have to come to the point that they realize that they have to suffer in this world. So that means, at a point, they have to be attracted to Krishna because they have suffer. They need to master their senses. They come to that conclusion in any condition. In any condition, happiness has to be there and is the substrate of happiness is mastering our senses. Otherwise, the mind will become such an impediment. The mind will create a second personality, the second self. When the yaksha was asking, when Dharma in the form of yaksha was asking to Yudhishthira several questions, you remember that story, I will do short, but basically Yudhishthira sent a lot of brothers in the period of exile in the Himalayas to get water, and they take water, and the yaksha says, stop, don't take that water. But they don't listen, and they take that water because they are very thirsty. But because they didn't listen to the yaksha, that they have been warned, if you take that water, you will die before to answer my question. They all die. Yudhishthira come and the yaksha says, you have to answer to my question before to take anything. And he says, what is the second self? And the second self is intelligence. And the intelligence means studying the choice of the mind. So when someone is not mastering his senses, the mind will get mad and the intelligence will be stolen away. So there is this metaphor in Bhagavad Gita that you need only one of the senses to carry away the whole boat. And after that, this is suffering into the material ocean. So in order to not be, to not have our intelligence to be stolen, we need to master our senses. So this is just an introduction. And the thing is, now we come to a conclusion that both has to be there. We cannot go to anurakta, anuraga, to raga bhakti without mastering your senses. And Vedi bhakti means all the process of rules and regulation by which you will be able to establish yourself in a position of a submissive servant of the Lord. And it does not come all of a sudden. It's a progressive step by step. And Sadasa is there to remind us at the end of the life that death is coming. And we understand that there is two kind of people. There is in the Brihad Naradiya Purana this verse, Yadesha Aksharam Gargi Avitidvasma Lokat Priti Sabramana Sakripana. Yadesha Aksharam Gargi Vitidvasma Lokat Priti Sabramana. That means the one at the time to leave this world, Lokat Priti, to leave this world, Avitid Vasmal, if he doesn't inquire about transcendental subject, is no better than a Kripana. But you know, the other end, the one at the time of this who has inquired about spiritual subject, Vitid Vasmal, is considered to leave this world as Brahmana. So the problem in this world is that because our senses are driving us away from the goal of life, we just few years before to come to an end that, yes, old age, disease, all this will come inevitably and it will take away everything. Antaimedeva, that means the body has to come to an end. And what is the wonderful news in this world? What is the most incredible thing in this world is everybody is will come to die, but nobody is trying to find a solution for that. So the spiritualist, he has understood that. He will find a solution for that. He will do practice. He will do bhakti yoga on the best of the cases, otherwise he will generally do jnana. He will try to cultivate knowledge. He knows that something is wrong in this world. Dead matter cannot create this. Big Bang cannot come from the void. And I mean, the society is full of trickery, deceitful activities, sin. So maybe I should not trust them. The saintly person, they looks better, you know? So they start to inquire about life. And all of a sudden, they come to realize that, spiritualists realize that, yes, this is the valuable path. If I have to take my example, when I was working and I realized that, you know, going to work, having a family, friends, and so on, leads to chewing the chew again and again. It's losing taste. I had the impression to always do the same thing, but in a different circumstances. So I find it, at the end of my life, I was projecting myself in the future, and I was thinking, this life is really not so bright, you know, even if I have all of what I desire. So I pray that I could meet someone who will be able to guide me. And I met a devotee, and all of a sudden, by his saintly activities, I feel inspired to drop my job, to leave my friend, to say to my girlfriend, that's finished, and to change radically my life. Why? Because I felt the emergency, the urge to do that. Because all those years I've accumulated so much sinful activities in my subtle body that I realized that I was spoiled. Since 20 years I was spoiled. I was greedy, envious, I was lusty, I was angry, and all those things, I never wanted that in my mind. So I thought that path of devotion was the genuine path to engage your senses and to become purified and to be peaceful inside. And when you have that, life becomes a matter of contentment, wherever situation you are, in holidays, in work, alone, being with people, family, dead or life, that's okay. Even you are ready to give up your body at a certain point for the pleasure of the Lord. And I think this is the really wonderful thing in Krishna consciousness, such a renunciation. So all of a sudden, he told me, you know, you can just leave your apartment, because I was living during the week in the devotee's house, and during the weekend I was away, and during the weekend I had to come back and to do the program with him. And at some point I decided to leave my apartment and to live fully in the devotee's house. There were Radhanath Swami's disciples. And at some point he told me, you know, I know someone, he can be your spiritual master. It was Kadambakanana Swami, His Holiness. And I met him, and at one class he told, I like when people, they have the opportunity to commit. And if they have the opportunity to commit, they should go full. And they should dedicate themselves. He told at that time, I miss the time where we were able to slap the devotees. So, yeah, don't take that seriously in the way that means. At that time, in the beginning, the devotees, they were dedicated on the point to not complain and to really give themselves in a way that today we feel comfortable. There were not so many facilities. They were taking cold shower there, and hot shower were considered Maya, you know? And Khichdi was there every day. No, when we have Khichdi, we feel that it's austerity. So it's different time. But today, things improve also in many ways. We go deeper in the scriptures. We understand more how to be able to preach and so on. So it's not black and white. It's just evolution. And at that time, it resonated in my heart, the instruction. I take that as a personal instruction, even if it was for everybody. So I decided to join. And all of a sudden, I gave all of my money to the devotees. And that's it. So, yes, it's like that. All of a sudden, it's possible. The thing is, why Bhakti Yoga is superior to dry speculation yoga? Because you are able to do just one example. Yagya shashta shtina shanto muchante salva kirbiche bunjate tedvakam papa ye pachantiat makaranat. That means you can do a yagya by offering what you cook to the Lord. So this possibility is only coming when you establish a relationship between a servant, a master, between someone, and there is love. But someone who is a Brahmavadi, he can do that, of course, because sometimes he can use the deity as a mean at a neophyte stage for him to relate, to be able to relate, to be able to meditate. But at the end, he wants to forget the deity. Jai Jai Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Goranitai Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaura Bhaktavinda Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Okay. So, yes, I will not go too much in detail. Ambarish Maharaj is like the best example to establish what is Yukta Vairagya or the confrontation between Durvasa Muni, Brahmavadi, is not able to master instances and going to anger, is less qualified than Ambarish Maharaj, who considers himself a humble servant, who is ready to forgive Durvasa Muni in every circumstances. But I want to speak about actually renunciation, this ability to perform bhakti yoga in the higher stage of perfection in Vrindavan. And why? Because Vrikriditam Vraja Vadubiridam Shavishnu Shadan Vitunu Shriduad Hatavarna Yedyaha Parambhakti Bhagavati Patilabhya Kamam Ridurogam Ajvapai Noti Yachinila Diram. That means the dealings with the inhabitants of Vrindavan is on the highest perfection. And amongst the devotees of Vrindavan, the resident, the cowherd girl, are the topmost resident of Vrindavan. And when we are discussing those pastimes, something happens. Because you deal with the... You should first, before to talk about that, we should first deal that in a way that it doesn't invoke lusty desire in the heart of anyone. If you invoke lusty desire when you are talking about the Vrajagopis, that means you miss your point. That means you should not deal with that. So I hope everybody will not think lustily about this, and we will be able to talk with that just peacefully. But I will not go into detail, don't worry. I'm not qualified for that. So the thing is... When we deal about the subject, transcendental subjects of, for example, all gopis, they are using their bodies as an offering to the Lord. They engage their lusty desire for the benefit of the Lord. It becomes the highest stage of purification. Bhakti param, the highest stage of bhakti, patilabhya kamam, to erase the material desire in the heart, achinera dira, really fast, all the material desire coming from kama in your heart will be clean by discussing those topics. So what happens is there is in Vrindavan something wonderful, the perfection of renunciation. And it becomes one time Krishna is talking about that with Uddhava in the 11th canto, and he says, Kevalina ibavena gopyo gavo naga mriga yenye buddha diyo naga sidamam iur anjasa. That means in Vrindavan there is they love me all with pure love, including gopi, including the cows, including naga. Here, naga is not serpent, but naga refers to immobile living entities like creepers, like trees, and also mriga. Mriga here refers to all animals, and there is Buddha, Muda Dio. Muda Dio refers to Muda, those who have a body which normally doesn't have a lot of abilities, like mountain. So they have all attained perfection, including Naga. After he says, even the serpent, which is referring to Kaliya. So the example of the trees are, for example, Arjuna. The two Arjuna trees, they have been saved by the grace of Krishna, they have attained perfection. But actually, there is many things. When we understand the perfection of the gopi, the recession of the gopis, it's evident. They are ready to leave everything, husband, social custom, and so on. But when we come to the understanding of a cause, it becomes less evident. So, and when it becomes to a blade of grass, it becomes even less evident. But the thing is, when we are speaking about gopi, when we are speaking about inhabitant of Vrindavan, we are thinking that we want their place. But what is the prayer of Brahma first? Brahma says, I want to be a blade of grass in Vrindavan. What is the prayer of Uddhava? I want to become a creeper in Vrindavan. What is the prayer of Haridas Thakur? Perfection of renunciation. I want to be an ant in the house of a devotee, life after life. What we have to understand about that? We have to understand that, okay, I follow the footsteps of the inhabitant of Vrindavan, of the parampara, of the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to attain the highest parambhakti, the highest stage of devotional service. But that does not mean that if Krishna wants to engage me as a blade of grass, I will not be happy. If Krishna wants to engage me as a creeper, as a cause for his pleasure, let's do it. It happens that between even the plants, there is envy, you know? We were taking perfection of renunciation means be free from envy. The creepers, they look at Tulasi and they say, Tulasi is always at the feet of Krishna. I would like to be like her, you know? What a change. But actually envy in spiritual world is appreciation. In the material world, it's the opposite. It's disrespect, inimicality. So as soon as I become inimical to Krishna, it's envy. As soon as I appreciate someone who has better quality than me, I begin to appreciate him. It's another side of envy. So what happens is those creepers, they envy Tulasi. But not only those. Trees are envying other people. Trees are envying the gopas, for example. Why? Because when the trees are seeing the gopas wandering, Krishna is taking one apple from there or one fruit, they have one chance to be in contact of Krishna. But after Krishna is going away, and they feel separation. The trees is saying, why am I in this form? I want to follow Krishna. He's so wonderful. It's so difficult to be separated with him. And you have to understand that Madhavendrapuri was a desire tree. Madhavendrapuri was the initiator of Madhavendrapuri. Madhavendrapuri is the initiator of the Gopi Bhav, of feeling of separation, and so on. We know that, huh? Okay, right? That's nice. It's him who gave to Ijvarapuri that type of consciousness. It's Ijvarapuri who initiate Chaitanya Prabhu into then thing like a madman, Unmadavan, Nityarthi, Bayaloka, without shame. But Madhavendrapuri was a desire tree, it says in the Gonadesh Deepika. It was a desire tree. Or he can express feeling of separation. Now you know that when a tree is see Krishna going away, for him it's destructive in his heart. But it's not destructive in his heart against his benefit. It's destructive on the point that it's agitating him, agitating his remembrance, agitating his feeling of possessiveness. So, feeling of separation is not the exclusivity of the gopis. We have to understand that. The perfection is everywhere in Vrindavan. So, one time, Balaram will wander with Krishna. And he says, Aohami deva varamarajanam padambujate sumana faraharam. Look at those trees, my dear Balaram. Oh, devas amongst the devas. They are offering you sumana and faraharam. They are fruits and flowers. What happens? Namanti upadaya shikabir atmanas. They curb their branches like they want to pay you obeisances with their head. And what Krishna says after that about those trees? He says, Tamopahatye tarujanma yat kritam. Tamopahatye, they have taken all ignorance away. Why? Because they are tarujanma, such the birth in a tree when Krishna was in Vrindavan, on Boma Vrindavan, in Vrindavan on earth, sorry. And it was considered as For those great souls to be in the body of a tree, it was considered for them an offense. It's because they will not be able to follow Krishna, so they were telling themselves, it's because of my offenses that I'm not able to follow Krishna. So they were paying obeisances to Krishna in the way that they can be forgiven from their offenses. And Krishna says that to Balaram. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explained that in this verse in this way. So you have to understand that the trees, they feel that this body is not meant for me to serve Krishna in the best way. If I'm in this tree, I had the perfection to meet Krishna, but actually I want to do more. I know I'm experimenting separation. So, a second way to understand this verse is Taru Janma Yat Kritam. Because of this birth in Vrindavan, Tamo Parachi, all ignorance has gone away. That's another way to understand this verse. When someone is taking birth in Vrindavan, you know that generally he has to go on the spiritual world, he does not need to take birth again, except big offenses. But generally, I mean, for him, it's already a shift. That's the power of Vrindavan birth. Even the trees, they are on those stages. Normally, the trees, they are impersonalists, or people from the Edenic planets who go up and down, but in the Edenic planets, they did big offenses, and they go into the trees form, like the two son of Kuvera, okay? Nalu Kuvera and Manigriva, okay. And one time, you know, all of you know Kanai Chandra, huh? So to glorify him a little, I was in the altar with him, and I was taking the shoes of rather Gokulananda to undress him. You know what he did? He chastised me. He says, "No, you cannot take the shoes of Radha Gokulananda without putting them on your breast before, to put them on the table." You know what does that means? Yate sujata sharanam buruham staneshu. The gopis says, we are so inquiring about Krishna that his feet are so soft that when he wanders in the forest, kulpadibir brahmatidir, there is those needles, those little stones, they can hurt his feet. And you know that Krishna's skin is so soft that when a simple leaf touch, the color is changing. If you press strong enough your skin, it will change a color for a few seconds. But for Krishna, just a simple leaf touching, the skin is changed because his skin is so soft. And why they want to put the skin of Krishna in their breast? Because when you put the feet of Krishna in your hair, it's not so agreeable that when you put the feet on the tender part of your body. And what is the tender part of a body of a woman, of a cowherd girl, is the breast. But the body of a man does not have this ability. So the topmost thing for Gopi is to be able to engage his body for the pleasure of Krishna. And Kanai Chandra, Vrindavan birth, he has already, you know, this in mind. For him, he is already acting, if he was taking care as a citizen of Vrindavan in the spiritual world. And does not seem to be, when you look at him, he's really simple. That's what is wonderful with him. And we have to understand that we have to come to the point that either I'm ready to become a blade of grass, because one day Krishna will give me the contact of his lotus feet. I should be able to desire that I can become a tree, because one day Krishna will pick up one of my fruits. And if Krishna wants, maybe I can be a friend. Maybe I can become a citizen of Vrindavan if he can engage me. I'm ready for everything. But if he thinks that I should become a stone near Govardhan, I can be. Govardhan is considered as Sakyaras. He's considered as a friend. He's the best of the friends. Creepers, they are considered a servant. The trees, they are bringing shade and they give fruits. And goats, they be considered, sometimes they are considered as Vatsalya, sometimes animals and creepers, or stones, or mountain, they can be considered as neutral. But you have to understand that they have all attained perfection and they are all engaging their senses for the pleasure of Krishna. That a Brahmavadi cannot do. That a Brahmavadi cannot conceive that. Cannot conceive that already his body can engage his senses for the pleasure senses of the Lord. So what to speak about a tree? What to speak about a mountain? For him it's just way beyond. So envy, I will just try to finish 2 or 3 minutes. Envy is the principle by which you become inimical towards Krishna. But at the beginning, it takes place between the association between the gopis and the foremost of the gopis, Radharani. I'm sorry to talk about that. It's not that I want to talk about that, but this is the best example that I find. So I have to share with you. So when we are reciting the morning prayers, we are already talking about the gopis since the beginning. We know that the spiritual master is there. He relishes Radha Krishna Katha. He's undressing them. He's cooking for them. He knows all to assist them. And when we are praying for the Mangala Charanam, we are praying that Radharani is giving her blessings to us and also his followers. So why we should not be able to speak of that if we speak in a way that it's detached and from the Acharya? I may not have any realization about that, but at least I can share you something from the spiritual world that you can understand how is it functioning, at least on the base of Tattva. So this envy is taking place when, for example, Krishna as a Nayaka, as a hero, is marching, going here and there with other gopis from different factions. And the thing is, when Prabhupada is meeting Chandravali, for example, she is never chastising her. She's always appreciating her qualities. But when someone is higher than us, if we deepen in our heart think that I want to put him down, I'm better than him, it becomes to be envy. The thing is amanina, free from envy. And what is the opposite of amanina? It's avamanina. Avamanina means disrespectful. When I'm disrespecting someone, I consider myself higher. But to avoid this envy, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, you have to be humble as a blade of grass. You have to accept this position if you need. You have to be tolerant as a tree. You have to accept that Krishna can go away from you during a long time before to come back. Okay? And I will just finish on that verse. Etat sat varga haranam ripu nigrahanam param. Adhyatma mulam hetabdid vishnanamanu kirtanam. That means the 6 enemies of the mind, of the person, the 6 great enemies, can be only cut at the roots by holy name. Because the holy name is the first appreciation that you have for Krishna. First, before to glorify someone, you say his name with affection. So when you will say the name of Krishna with affection, naturally you will be able to glorify him with affection. Naturally you will see his qualities. Naturally you will appreciate his form. So in order to curb envy, we need to glorify people. In order to curb envy, we need to do some charity. We need to establish amical relationship. Kapila Devi says that Satat Bhakti Shu Chenishu Sabhakta Parakitasmita. The one who doesn't see the Lord in the heart of my devotees, I consider him as a materialist. So if we don't want to become a materialist, we have to appreciate everyone. When Prabhupada says that we have to do competition, he says in a way that we have to do competition which is appreciative. You did better than me. I will try to beat you, but you are really good. Like the gopis. You are with Krishna, you managed to seduce him, you are really good, but I will do my best too. It's not that he did more books than me, and each time he distributed books, I feel bad, you know? How can this guy can do that? Why Krishna does not give me the mercy, you know? Why not me? Me. So this is like that. And what is the process? I find in the Jiva Dharma, the process, all envy is coming. And it's simple. He says, the six enemies begins by karma. Okay? Karma induce krodha. Because there is, between the object of your desire, you cannot possess him. So, when you cannot possess him, and there is a difference between your desire and the reality. That difference will create angerness. When you cannot, and that angerness is passion. Angerness is increasing all your emotion. You know that. Everybody is experiencing angerness. When you are angry, all your emotions are, the perspective of reality is totally different, because a little thing can become a big thing, you know? So, lobha comes. Greed. I want more. It becomes, I do, like the child, when he's not possessing his little candy, the world is falling apart for him. Because he's fixing his attention on that, he's crying, because he's angry, and now it's become the big thing. So what after? Angry stole is our intelligence. Buddhi nasha. We lose our intelligence. And that means moha. So, kama, krodha, lobha, moha. What after, when I am under illusion, I think myself another person. Mada. I'm become intoxicated. Mada means intoxication. Mada means pride. Mada means I'm not the servant anymore. That's it. I want this thing so much. I'm angry towards Krishna. I'm greedy enough now to consider myself that I can take his place. And what happens when you become intoxicated at the point that you feel proud enough to think that you can become the Lord, that you can enjoy it independently of Krishna? Matsarya. Matsarya is jealousy. Matsarya is enviousness. Matsarya is inimicality between you and Krishna. That's all envy is coming. All this is coming from the desire to enjoy. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it says we come before kama. Dayato vishayan pumsa sangaste chupajayate sangasanjat kama krodo prijayate. That means by a simple contemplation, attachment is coming, and from attachment, kama is coming. That's it. So you know the process of envy now. You know how to curb it, and by charity, by appreciation, by cultivating knowledge, by understanding that the Lord is in everyone's heart. Each time I'm judging someone, actually I'm judging the capacity of the Lord to establish a good relationship between others. I, when I'm judging someone, I'm saying to the Lord, the way you guide people is not good. The way you made this world is not good. I can do better. I am not better. I will be better. I want all the qualities. When I'm judging someone, I neglect the responsibility of the Lord in the heart of the person. I neglect the responsibility of the Lord in the heart of the person to take him and to guide him as a witness. Smitir ganam apuanam cha. So when I do this, that means I think that the Lord is not good enough to rule and to guide people. I think that the Lord is giving in a wrong way qualities and default to persons. So if I really want to conclude, Vishvana Chakravarti Thakur, he gave us one meditation to have to curb envy. And this meditation is, when you see Mother Earth is Bhumi. Bhumi is one of the three eternal consort of Lord Vishnu. She is like Lakshmi, always at the feet of Lord Vishnu, with Shri and with Nila Devi. Though that means those Bhudevi is an expansion of Bhudevi. I mean, the earth, Bhumi, is an, the consort of the Lord, is an expansion of the Lord, of because Bhumi is the energy of the Lord, like Radharani is the energy of Krishna. So that means Bhumi is at the feet of Krishna. And all the living entities on earth are taking shelter of the feet of Krishna because they are living on earth and the earth is taking shelter of Vishnu. So in this way, the meditation should be, every living entity has taken shelter of the earth and earth is taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So they are already devotees. So I should consider them. That's the way that Vishvana Chakravarti Thakur is meditating to curb envy. So I will finish that. Sorry for delaying. And if anyone has a question, I can try to answer. Thank you for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Yeah, please. Hare Krishna.
How do you know you're ready to commit yourself fully? Is it something that you get from the mercy of a spiritual master? Or is it something that comes from your heart? How do you know you're committed like 100%?
Yes. It begins when you don't have any material desire. If I tell you tomorrow I drop you in an island alone, okay? And you have only your japa. Will you be able to be happy or not? So if you are not happy, you are not. That means you are not totally dedicated to Krishna. Because you need something else than the holy name. The holy name should be at the basis of our spiritual life. It's such an extent that we don't need anything else. Of course, in this island there will be bananas, okay? For you to survive. And there will be a good sun and no wind. So you will feel in holy days. But even in this situation, will you feel happy? If you say no, that means you have to work on that. Because we should have such an appreciation to the holy name that I'm ready to give up everything. I'm ready to wander on the planet with just my japa. There is one exception. Association of the devotees. Association of the devotees has to be there. Some may not need it because they find the association in the holy name. Because the holy name is Krishna. Krishna is never leaving Vrindavan. So in the holy name they find a lot of people. So they don't need really devotees because they are already in Vrindavan, you know. But those who cannot, they should be with devotees. So I will tell you a second thing. Is your spiritual master tell you to go, to come life after life to serve Prabhupada or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Will you be able to do it? You do it? That's nice. So that means you are already in a higher you are already taking all your personal consideration away. Because the highest consideration is happiness. Happiness means liberation from suffering from this world. This is platform of goodness. Pure goodness means I don't even care of that. You should not care about wealth, about karma, jnana, and moksha. In this way, if you do that, that means you are renunciant. But mastering your senses is one thing, okay? That's one thing. We say anurakta. Anurakta means I have to find something that I can serve eternally Krishna. It should be your japa. If it's not your japa, can it be dressing the deities? Can it be doing some garlands for Krishna? You have to find something that you are ready to do eternally. And you have to also be Atma Nikshepa Karpanye. You know, there is six ways to surrender, and one is to be able to do everything for Krishna. Krishna is telling to do the toilet, do it. Krishna is telling you actually to suffer, like on the cross, to such an extent, like Jesus Christ, you should be able to do it. That's extreme example. But when you project yourself, if you say yes to those things, you may not be able to do it really. But at least if you say yes, you let the opportunity to Krishna to engage you in everything.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for a wonderful class, and thank you very much for also make it personal and talking about your personal experience. I can certainly relate to that. I guess my question, it's on the back of Harika Mataji's question, which is, in the Bhagavad Gita, it does say that real renunciation is not necessarily going on living on in, you know, isolating yourself in a forest, yes, but it's actually acting in the world. So how do we, okay, we are ready to be renunciates, but also how are we acting in the world, and how we, because sometimes being in an ashram, which here is great, but also like we're supposed to spread Krishna consciousness to yes, our friends and yes, families, and acting in the world. So I guess that's my question.
That's nice. So never misunderstand that even if I like the holy name, even if I like my service, even if I'm alone, I will be happy. That does not mean that I'm alone. So this example of the island is just to put you in a condition that if there is nothing, will you be satisfied between you and Krishna in your heart? If you say yes, go and preach, because people will be inspired. And if you say no, go and preach, because you need to be purified. So in any case, preaching has to be there, because we feel compassionate to such. Compassion is there to curb envy. Compassion is there to help us to relate with people, to share the mercy that we have received, to be able to continue the parampara. So the thing is, Narada Muni is comparing the world like a buffalo. The guna is putting the rope around the nose, and the buffalo has to go here and there. So when we are comparing ourselves like that, we are seeing people like buffaloes with a ring in their nose and the ropes of the gunas leading here and them here and there. But we know that they are performing so many impious activities, and amongst them there is innocent people. If we give them education, they will be able to take Krishna consciousness seriously. Those people, we want to save them. It's our duty. And when I was when I met those devotees, I understand that my duty now is to give what I receive, because my life was such a torture. I find no consistency, no goal, no really tangible happiness. That when I receive Krishna consciousness, I felt that I'm not alone like that. So, what you say is true. We should engage our senses for the benefit of others. This is really imperative. But in the same time, you should derive enough happiness in your spiritual activities that you don't need anything material. Yes? That's nice.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Okay, thank you for your kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktarinda ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Nita Gaur Premanande Haribol.